ever heard of the Rubik's Cube? You ever heard of this? How many of you ever tried to do this Rubik's Cube? Probably most of you here. A man by the name of Erno Rubik, we're told, designed this particular cube. He was from Hungary, Budapest, and the year was 1974. He didn't know what he was doing at the time, but we're told that he got some wood chips, paper clips, and rubber bands. And his intention was to develop some kind of device to help people understand, particularly his class, 29 years old, by the way, at the time, that they would understand the importance of symmetry. Did you know that was 40 years ago? And did you know that this Rubik's Cube was inducted into the Toys Hall of Fame this year? And did you know that in New Jersey they had a display that cost $5 million portraying Rubik's Cube? And did you know that there are 43 quintillion wrong selections of this particular little toy? And only one right. Now, do you realize how many 43 quintillion is? It's 43 with 18 zeros behind the 43. But there's only one right combination. The record, by the way, is done by a teenager, 5.5 seconds to get it right. Well, I want you to know I hold in my other hand a special book that was written over a period of a few thousand years, 1500, 40 different authors. And I want you to know that this book is unlike any other book. The fact that God in his wisdom, God in his sovereignty, God in his transcendent, that is above all creation, his immutability, never changing. This God, this sovereign, supreme being would put together a book that would have so many prophecies concerning yesterday, concerning the past and the present, and many of the future. It's absolutely mind-boggling, the Bible we hold in our hand. If you've got your Bible, hold it up. Do you realize, my brother and sister, the Word of God is powerful, and there's right choices, there's right combinations in this book. Somebody says, but Brother Pastor, I'm not into all that Bible prophecy. Well, you need to be. You know what Jesus did? He got 12 disciples. You know what he did? We're going to look at this morning how he poured into those men even before going to the cross. He prepared them. He taught them. He mentored them. And even after he was crucified and resurrected and appeared 10 times over about 40 days, you know what his message was? About his second coming. And you know the last thing as he ascended into glory, what the angel said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing upward? This same Jesus will come in like manner." Listen, beloved, I don't say this to brag or boast, but I just want you to know, I've heard through the years about the second coming of Christ. And through the years, it's been mentioned as pie in the sky. But the Lord had me over the last year to write a book. It was a requirement. It ended up being close to 100 pages. And here's the title: Tomorrow's Revelation Calls for Today's Purification. I'm convinced, beloved, it's not in print yet, but pray for the Lord and his timing will get it there. But I'm convinced that tomorrow's anticipation of Jesus coming again will affect us every day the way we live godly in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. And by the way, did you hear about the Indian chief, that he could somehow or another predict the forecast? And there was a film going on. Day after day, they asked this old Indian chief, they said, "Well, what's the weather going to be tomorrow?" You know what he said? "Rain." I said, "All right." Then the next day, this filming crew asked the Indian chief, he'd show up day after day. They said, what's the weather going to be like tomorrow? Cold. The next day, what's the weather going to be like tomorrow? The Indian chief would say, sunshine. How many like to see some sunshine? And then the next day, they said, what's the forecast? You know what the Indian chief said? Don't know. They said, what do you mean you don't know? He said, radio broke. Don't know. I can tell you this, God knows, and here is the radio right here. I want us to look at this wonderful passage of scripture we've looked at many times today and pray the Holy Spirit of God will help us. This is the title of the message today, continuing the trend of a series of messages going into 2015. Will Jesus be seen in 2015? Will Jesus be seen in 2015? And I believe there's at least four reasons we're going to look at the passage of Scripture today. Four reasons that we ought to be ready not only to live for the Lord, but ready to die for the Lord. Why we ought to really sell out and let Jesus have his way. So if you got your Bibles, turn please to that wonderful Olivet Discourse that Jesus brought to his disciples up on the Mount of Olives, overlooking the Kidron Valley, looking to where the temple he had just said would be torn down. And it's found in that famous passage of Matthew chapter 24. So look there, please, in Matthew chapter 24. If you'd like to, would you stand as we read the wonderful word of God today? Will Jesus be seen in 2015? As you're turning to Matthew 24, let me just remind you of some events that are lining up with the will of God. How many believe that some things are happening in our world that are lining up with the will of God? Right now as we speak, there is the anticipation. There is the preparation, arrangement for the temple. Show that temple, Katie, please. The arrangement of the temple. The next temple that's going to be built will be the Antichrist temple. And here is a reference to the word of God that says the Antichrist will sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. We were there a few months ago. We went through the Temple Institute, and I want to tell you, they're not slack concerning this matter. They're getting preparations done as we speak. The Jews are praying at the Wailing Wall, or otherwise known as the Western Wall, daily. Why? In preparation for that temple. They do not have a temple right now. You recall, in 70 A.D., Titus and the Roman soldiers tore down the temple. As Jesus said, it would be done. Another fulfillment of his word. And so, there's some alignment. There are some things that are lining up. Not only the alignment and arrangement of the temple, but what about anticipation from peace? I can think of a better time when the Palestinians and the Israelis are fighting and will continue to fight. But it's certainly paving the way with Syria and ISIS and Russia and Ukraine and Iran and North Korea. Do I need to say more? And the United States. And furthermore, what about the incident that happened last week in France with the Muslim terrorists storming, killing a number of people in the newspaper place, as well as other events that have taken place? All I'm saying is that there is a open door for anticipation of peace. Our world is looking for somebody that has answers, peace, and safety. Wow. It's really happening right now. And then the returning of the Jews to their homeland. Just in 2014, 32% the increase of the Jews to their homeland. That's the fact, folks. And boy, I tell you, it's the exciting day to which we are living. And then the alignment of nations. So we're looking in Matthew chapter 24. How many believe as we read today that God is in control? You say, but oh, if we have President Obama, he's making all these bad decisions and the infiltration of Muslims and our Christian freedoms are being taken away. While all of that may be true, still we can draw blessed assurance and hope to know that our God holds the king's hand in his heart in his hand as the rivers of water and turns it whithersoever way he will. God is ruling, God is overruling, and God will ever rule. Hallelujah. In Matthew 24, we began reading in verse 3. If you're there, say amen. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall be these things? And let's back up to verse 2. Jesus said unto them, by the way, this is the Passover week. By the way, this is probably on Monday of the week in which Jesus would be crucified and be resurrected from the dead. By the way, he's already been preparing his disciples for a number of weeks for his imminent death and resurrection. Verse 2, and Jesus said unto them, see ye not all of these things? Verse 2, verily I say unto you, there shall not be one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. He's talking about the temple. It was fulfilled just like God said. And then we read to verse number 3. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? And the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said to them, you're very familiar with this. Take heed that no man deceive you. The word deceive there, by the way, is the word plano, which means to lead into error. Let no man mislead you. Let no man deceive you. Let no person carry you into error. Why? The Lord knew it would be very evident in these days in which not only they live, but in which we're living as well. He says further, and verse number 5, for many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Literally, that word sorrow means the birth pains of a woman. By the way, Ashlyn, by the way, these birth pains of a woman having a baby. And then look at verse 9. And then he talks about, and then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another and hate one another. Wait a minute. How many know that the Chief Cochran, whom I mentioned about 3 weeks ago or a few weeks ago, fire chief of Atlanta, Georgia, was fired, terminated last week. Now, is that what the Lord's saying here? Come on, talk to me. Oh, they said it wasn't because of his Christian faith, but I don't believe it. It was. He wrote a book called Who Told You Were Naked? And whether it be politically motivated or not, understand this, Satan is behind it. And that is the origin. All right? And so this is what the Lord is saying. We should not be surprised. And then we can read on in this verse. I want you to skip down to verse number 13. He says, many false Christs will rise. He said, there'd be love of many shall wax cold. We're seeing that today, days of apostasy. Verse 13. Go back to verse 13. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Now look up here just a moment before we read verse 14, all right? I meant to say this earlier, but don't miss this. Don't miss this, please. Technically speaking, Matthew 24 is during the tribulation. It's not referring to the rapture, but it's referring, Katie, will you bring up that chart, please? It's referring to after the rapture during the tribulation. And you'll see in a moment, contextually, why we say this. Here's the rapture. The cross, Christ crucified, the rapture of the church. The next event, I believe, on God's calendar, based on the scripture. No signs need to take place in order for the rapture to take place. Then 7 years of tribulation. And then the conclusion of the tribulation, Jesus comes again in glory and power. Technically speaking, Matthew 24. The reason I'm saying this is because I preached it wrong back in the past as far as concerning the rapture. It's not really a reference to the rapture. We'll see in a moment. Rather, it's a rapture. It's a reference to the tribulation. And then after the tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, and then the new heaven and the earth, new earth. Leave that chart up, please. All right. So, he that endureth to the end. Go back to verse number 13. He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. There are those who tell us we're saved by works and not by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. And they use that verse. However, if you understand in the context of Matthew 24, he's not talking about enduring to the end before the rapture. He's talking about enduring to the end. Bring that chart back up, Katie, please. He's talking about bringing that, he's talking about enduring to the end after the tribulation. And this is for those who are during the tribulation. All right, having said that, now listen, don't miss this, because you'll be sitting out here thinking, wait a minute, when is this supposed to take place? Technically speaking, the tribulation. We'll see it in a moment. But spiritual application, how many know that there's spiritual application to the Word of God? There's spiritual application. And these preparations should be done by us today, watching and waiting and witnessing. There's other verses that we could use in regards to the rapture, but this chapter 24 is a reference to the tribulation. All right? Having said that, look at verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom, said the Lord, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. And then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Well, he goes on in this chapter and talks about, for example, in 22, the days being shortened. Verse 24, more false Christ, more false prophet, great signs and wonders to deceive even the very elect. Now skip down to verse number 29. Immediately, notice, immediately after the tribulation. Well, I just said that this is during the tribulation, and the Lord is talking about the tribulation. Immediately after the tribulation, those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Sounds like a blood moon to me. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels, and with a great sound of a trumpet, they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Paul's right there. Hold your place. What I'm talking about, well, I thought we had a chart back up. Oh, we keep going back and forth. Anyway, pick up right there. We'll pick up in the chart in a moment. Look at verse number 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. By the way, just because it's a reference to the fig tree, it doesn't always mean a reference to Israel. Some cases it does, but it does not have to do with a reference to Israel. I know this is deep stuff. Now, folks, if you came to church today and without really trying to engage, it's going to go right over your head. But we are living in days, I believe, that God wants us to know and be like the men of Issachar, understand of the times in which we're living. Verse 32 again. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putting forth leaves, you know that the summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when you see all these things, know that that it is near even to the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. What generation? The generation that's going through the tribulation. That's who he's talking about. It's during this time. This generation will see these things, technically speaking. Are you with me so far? Say amen if you're with me. All right, good. One or two are. Hallelujah. All right, verse number 36. Well, back up to verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not. I'm taking time this morning to read a long passage of scripture because I feel like we need to get it in context, all right? Verse number 36. But of that day and hour, verse 36, knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but only my Father only. Now, some say Jesus in his earthly human body said that, but he being God knew when the time would come. Whether that be true or not, you be the judge of that. Look at verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken. We're going to talk about that. I, for a long time, thought this was a rapture verse, but it's really not. In the context of Matthew 24, it's not the rapture, it's the second coming of Christ. Because he just said there'd be tribulation. He just said the moon and the sun would be darkened and the stars would be having a cataclysmic event. Obviously, that is during the tribulation and these other signs that were going to take place. All right, verse 40 again. Then shall two be in the field. One shall be taken, one left. Taken where? It's not the rapture. The rapture has already taken place. Although the rapture will take place and people will be taken. But here, one will be taken in judgment and the other left. Left where? Left to go in to this millennial reign. One to be taken, judgment, the other left to go into the millennial reign. All right, that's a exegetical analysis. That is reading out of the scripture and not reading in, like taking what the Bible says. All right, and then he says, two women, verse 41, should be grinding at the mill. One should be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what the hour of your Lord comes. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known to what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ready, for in such an hour you think not the Son of Man comes. This is the word of the Lord. And all God's people said, let's be seated, please. Father, thank you now for your word. I bless you, Lord. Your word is rich. It's alive. It's vibrant. It has life. And Father, I confess today we need illumination. We need the light to be turned on, our understanding. We need our hearts to be stirred, our Father to see that the hour indeed is the hour that you've ordained, that we should be watching and waiting and Lord, making a difference and telling others about the events that are going to take place as you've laid out in your word. Lord, I didn't write it, you did. And I pray, Father, that you will get glory today, that you'll, Lord, help us to be looking up, because our redemption draws nigh, and really get a burden, Father God, that others are slipping out in eternity, lost forever to be face the lake of fire. And so thank you now for what you're going to do today. Thank you for these that have gathered. We bless you, Jesus. You are the worthy Lamb, and it's all about you. We decrease and you increase. Cleanse us of sin. Fill us with your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And keep in mind, there are four reasons why I believe the Lord has told us we need to be ready to meet the Lord at any moment. Things are lining up. Hey, let me ask you a question. Are things lining up in your life? Are things lining up in your life? Have you got God's will, and are you walking in the will of God for you? Are you doing your own thing? Are you putting Jesus first in your life? Have you got some idols or some other things that are more important than your relationship with the Lord, and he's just kind of a back burner type of relationship? Do you have a passion to know him? Do you really want to see others to come to him? Do you have that intimate time with him on a daily basis? Are you walking in the light as he is in the light? Is there any unconfessed sin in your life? Or are you really have God's vision for your life? Are you fulfilling the purpose that God has intended for you and for me? Well, number one, the first question that emerges from our text is this. Number one, what's with all the signs? What's with all the signs? If we read chapter 24, verses 4 through 28, the Lord made it very clear that these would be some signs. He said this would be the signs, and they're fourfold. Number one, there'd be signs of deception. He says that in verse 4. He says that in verse 5. He says that in verse 11. He says that in verse 24. Deception. And again, the word plano is a word to lead into error. I can't think of a better time even today drawing some spiritual application to the technical approach, even though it's during the tribulation. Certainly, we're seeing days of deception. And the Lord said even the very elect would be deceived. It's absolutely amazing to me that how many sit in church and have sat in church for years and yet still can be deceived. This book right here is a blessing, but I want you to know this thing right here can be a dangerous thing in a man's hand or in a woman's hand who does not rightly divide the word of truth. And we see that all the time. And even some of us can be deceived if we're not careful. And so deception is the first sign, as he alluded to. Then there's not only deception, there's division. He said there'd be wars and rumors of wars. There've been wars and rumors of war, and they're going to continue to be wars and rumors of wars until the Prince of Peace comes. Then he said not only deception and division, but he said there'd be devastation, famines, you know, like the Ebola, pestilences, Ebola, you know, earthquakes in diverse places. And then he said something else. He said, but there'd be some destination. And that found this gospel shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24 and verse number 14. But let's talk about deception just for a moment. Deception. Signs of the time, deception. I love to read signs when I go by signs of churches. How many like to read signs on churches? I do. One sign on a business said this. It was a mechanic shop. Speaking of signs, said, let me break you, muffle you, and shock you. All right? That was on a mechanic sign. A tree in the middle of the road had this sign on it. This tree hits cars only in self-defense. I like that. A cemetery had this. Persons are prohibited from picking flowers from any but their own graves. Yeah, you'll get it later, all right? In Tennessee, this was put on a tombstone in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Once I wasn't, then I was, now I ain't again, all right? In Miami Beach restaurant, a sign was put on the outside of the restaurant. It said this: checks accepted if you are over 80 years old and accompanied by your parents, all right? And then another sign that said this, as I was reminiscing and looking over some of these signs, James Dobson reports this. He was riding in Southern California, and he noticed a sign that said, absolutely no trespassing. Violators will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. It was signed by Sisters of Mercy, all right? And then other signs, sometimes in the church we can put signs up. Don't be offended at this now. The pastor will preach and there will be special singing by the congregation. It was supposed to be singing, all right? Sometimes we get those little words and numbers messed up. And then a sign, signs of the time. Here was a sign on a church bulletin that said this: don't let worry kill you, let the church help, all right? And then there was another sign that said this. Y'all don't be offended when I say this now. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs, all right? And then another sign said this: Weight Watchers, this was a church bulletin, Weight Watchers will meet Tuesday at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. Please use the large double door at the side entrance, all right? And another one said this: as the maintenance of the churchyard is becoming increasingly costly, it would be appreciated if those who are willing to clip the grass around their own graves. All right. Billboards. A billboard had some signs outside the church, and here's what it said. I like this. Give God what's right, not what's left. Give God what's right, not what's left. And then another sign on a church said this: a lot of kneeling will leave you in good standing. Good saying. A lot of kneeling will leave you in good standing. And then some church sign had it this way: are you wrinkled with burdens? Come to the church for a faith lift. F-A-I-T-H, faith lift. And then a saying on the outside of a church said this: don't wait for six strong men to take you to church, all right? You understand, that's pallbearers. Another sign said this: this church is prayer conditioned, not air conditioned, prayer conditioned. And then the last one was saying this, quote, plan ahead, it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Plan ahead, all right? Deception, days of deception. Can I tell you something that happened to us, or well, that happened just not long ago? As a matter of fact, I think this happened last week or the week before. NBC. How many watch the news? Let me see your hand. Do you know, and I don't know all the details about this, but I did read where NBC was promoting some show or something has to do with the Pledge of the Allegiance to the flag. Any of you see that? But here was the deal. They stated on NBC, they stated, I'm talking about deception, I'm talking about days, I'm talking about which we're living. They said the Pledge of Allegiance, you know the Pledge of Allegiance, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible. Wait a minute. Did you say under God? They left out under God on purpose. You see what I'm talking about? And we should expect this from the world. But this is what we're talking about. Days of deception. I've never watched Duck Dynasty. And I'm not going to ask you if you watch it or not. I've heard it's a good show. I've heard they've got good values. I heard they pray, da, da, da. Wonderful. And that's good. But I've never seen it. But on Christmas Day, our son came and he sat down in the chair, he flipped on the television, and Duck Dynasty came on. I know some of the characters, and I'm glad that. And as they sat at the table, he only had it on for just about 10 minutes. They sat at the table, and I don't know who was in the picture, but anyway, they said, let's pray. They were getting ready for the blessing. And they said the blessing, and at the end of the blessing, they said something like this: thank you, God, for this food. Amen. I said, wait a minute. And I'm not being a critic. Maybe they just was an oversight on their part. Why in the world didn't they pray in Jesus' name?
Now, maybe they do pray in Jesus' name. This time they didn't. Amen. Well, you know that saying Jesus, God, is not offensive to our world. There's a lot of gods out there. But when you start and I start pinpointing Jesus in Jesus' name, that's what ruffles feathers. But I want to tell you, I don't believe that God is going to hear your prayer or my prayer except we go through Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen. And I know that's not politically correct today, but it's biblically correct. How do I know that? Because in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God says, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's at the name of Jesus. One preacher put it this way years ago. He said, it's like a checkbook. How many of you got a checkbook? Let me see your hand. You got a checkbook? I've got a checkbook over here in my briefcase. It's like me taking this checkbook and going down to a store and saying, you know what? I think I want to buy something out of, take a check and I'll purchase this item. But what would it be like if I never signed the check? I cannot purchase that item without signing the check. So it is when we pray. Signing the check is in Jesus' name. We cannot get a prayer through heaven except for through the name of Jesus. Jesus made it clear. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but me. Say amen. You know what I'm saying? And we're living in a world that wants to exclude Jesus. Why? They don't care if you pray at a ball game as long as you don't say in Jesus' name. Why? They don't care if you use some generic God, a Muslim God or a Buddha God or a Confucius God. Just don't use the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, days of deception. But you know, on another note, I will say that my wife and I were able to slip off for a couple of hours. I've not been to Stone Mountain. How many have been to Stone Mountain lately? We went to Stone Mountain right around Christmas time. It was the day after Christmas, the day that Brother Bill Bailey went to be with the Lord. We slipped off that afternoon for a couple of hours just to spend some time. Anyway, we got on the train ride. The train ride is open air. It doesn't have a cover on both sides. It's open, but you ride around Stone Mountain, and there were probably several hundred people on train ride. Well, as we were riding around the Stone Mountain, they were singing songs. They had a screen up here, you know, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way, and then Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and some of these Christmas songs, secular songs. That was singing, and everybody was happy, and everybody was clapping, and all of a sudden we stopped at this particular station, and they said, look over to your left. Remember, it's open air, it's not closed in. So we look over there to the left, and there's a cabin over there. A lady comes out of the cabin, but you can't hear her. They're having technical difficulty. And finally, after about 5 minutes, she was able to speak. And you know what she said? Stone Mountain. She said, she started reading from Luke chapter 2. She started talking about the baby, Jesus, coming from heaven to earth. God gave his son. I said, wait a minute, am I hearing this right? I can't believe we're at Stone Mountain, and I'm hearing them telling about Jesus being born. I could not believe it. I was looking around in that train, people in front of us who were clapping, who were shouting. It looked like they had a sad face on their, the sad expression on their face, like some people do when they come to church, all right? But anyway, and so this lady comes out, and the stars lit up, and then the manger scene and the shepherds come in, and they presented the gospel at Stone Mountain. Woo! I said, hallelujah. And you know what? Amen and amen. After they finished sharing that gospel message, I had to say, wait a minute. Am I seeing this right? I was looking around at anybody else, wondering if they were excited. And guess what? When they finally finished this, not a single word was said. Nobody was cheering. Nobody was like they were getting a little uncomfortable. Well, you know, I couldn't contain myself. I had to jump up and say, hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah. And people are looking, who is this crazy idiot from New Bern, Georgia, all right? It didn't matter. Thank God for the gospel. Amen and amen and amen. Let's bless the Lord. Isn't God good? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why that was impressive to me is this. Because, you know, it's not politically correct. This is supposed to be a state park. Well, the Lord put it in my heart. There's so many negative things and so many complaints everywhere you go now. I said, well, I'm going to go tell him how much I appreciated it. I'm going to tell this. And by the way, who is it that decided this? And what little bit of information I could find out. It's a couple that owns or somehow or another runs a Stone Mountain. They live somewhere else, but Anyway, it's a decision they make. Isn't that a blessing? Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Man, that made my whole night. So I'm talking about in living in days of deception. But oh, thank God for His word. This gospel should be preached in all the world. Then shall the end come, said the Lord. Not only be days of deception, secondly, there'll be days of division. We've already mentioned that. You see there where there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And thus we are seeing that on every hand in Syria. And what's going on with ICE and all the stuff I've already mentioned. Thirdly, not only word, where, what's with all the signs, the deception, the division. Number three, the devastation, the earthquakes and the famines and the pestilences the Lord referred to in Matthew 24. And then finally, the destination as mentioned in Matthew 24, 14. This gospel shall be preached in all the world and then shall the end come. How many believe that the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation? Oh, I'm telling you, God's word gets the job done. And what we need to do as a church and what we need to do as God's people is not tell people our opinion about stuff as much as we ought to give them the word of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, and to the Jews first and also the Greek. This book right here with the power of the Holy Ghost, it's got power to plow. It's got power to plant. It's got power to cultivate. The word of God has life-giving power. Jesus said that through his servant Paul that the word of God is sharp, quick. And the word quick there is the word zoe, which means life. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to cut and pierce bone and marrow, able to judge the intention of any human heart. No wonder Jeremiah said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. It's like a hammer that breaketh pieces. Tell me something. When's the last time you had a chance, the privilege of sharing the word of God? Hey, look, if it's really something to you, if you really believe it's got power, if you really, if it's changed your life, don't you want to tell somebody? Don't you want to see them get changed? Work carry forth. Don't you understand? We're in a battle and there is a cause. Like David, when he called the giant, he said, there is a cause. I want you to know right now, in God bless Jasper County, there's a cause to get the gospel out. I want you to know right now, in Newton County, Butts County, all across Georgia, all across America, all across our world, there's an urgency for us to get the gospel out. Hey, I want to tell you, let's go tell them. I want to tell you, let's go tell them. I want to tell you, let's go tell them the good news. I'm tired of the bad news. Somebody tell me some good news. Christ died for our sins and was buried. On the third day, rose again. That is the good news of the gospel. Jesus still has power to save. Well, glory. Let's go tell them. Let's go tell them. You don't believe it's got power? I believe you believe it, but the question is, are you telling? When's the last time you told somebody? You say, Brother Pastor, I don't believe I ought to be legalistic. No, the love of Christ motivates us. There ought to be a want to in your heart to bring others to Jesus. There's something about it. When you really get right with God, God puts it in your heart. Whether you've got the gift of evangelism or just understand the principles of witnessing with your lips and your life, there ought to be something in you that want to see people in Jasper County that are dying going to hell, that you don't want to see them die and go to hell without God. You want them to come to Jesus and experience the same peace and the same love and the same victory you've experienced. Oh, it's not something we should keep for ourselves, but rather, Jesus said to the gathering demoniac who'd been gloriously converted after a legion of demons had been cast out of him, go home and tell, go home and tell, go home and tell, go home and tell great things God has done. Oh, listen, brother and sister, if you will purpose in your heart today to tell somebody next week, I'll guarantee you that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bring his sheaves with him. We'll see more people come to Jesus. We'll see more people saved. We'll see the word of God go forth. Less purpose in our heart to go and tell. And the church said, only a couple of you said amen. Some of you said, I don't care what you say, preacher. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm telling you, you want the blessings of God. You want the glory of God. You want to be instrumental in what God's doing and join Him. You tell the good news. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Lord, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Let me tell you how powerful this word is. Recently, I had the privilege of talking with somebody, a teenager, about what the Bible teaches about how to be saved. Is it powerful? Does it get the job done? You tell me. I'll tell you. Because thank God, the word of God will not return void to the Lord. You believe that? God said it won't return him void. I'm telling you, the word of God, Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Sanctify them, Father, by thy truth. Thy word is true. I had the privilege of seeing this teenager cry out to Jesus after hearing the word of God, understanding they were lost, understanding they'd die without God, except for they repent and receive him. I heard it with my own ears. I saw it with my own eyes. I experienced it with my own heart. A young teenager passed from death into life all because of the gospel. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. I want you to know the Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. This place ought to be shouting. This place ought to be a thrill. This place ought to say, hallelujah, a sinner's been snatched from hell and brought into heaven. Amen. And amen and amen. Yeah, that's exactly right. Man, it doesn't matter who has the privilege of sharing with them. Now, there's a second question that emerges from the text, and it's this, namely. Not only what's with all the signs, but number two. And the question is this. Why is it going to get worse before it gets better? Why is it going to get worse before it gets better? Can you hear me? Why? How many believe it's going to get worse before it gets better? I don't buy into these politicians that want us to think we're living in a utopia and there's some kind of universalism and the world's going to get better. It ain't going to happen because God said through his servant Paul, know this, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Oh, but people said, well, if this man could get education or legislation or reformation, that would fix the problem. No, man needs resurrection. Man needs a new heart. Man has been born with a sin nature. It ain't going to get any better. It's going to get worse, but wait a minute. I hear somebody saying, preacher, I'm tired of all of this negative stuff. I'm tired of all of this pessimism. Oh, brother, sister, this isn't pessimism at all. It's realism. It's what the word of God says. Jesus said it himself. He said iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold. We're seeing that today. Days of apostasy, days of immorality, days of idolatry. No one could deny that 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you would never dream you'd see what's happening in our world today. Well, but wait a minute. I've got some good news in the midst of bad news. Even though the world's not going to get any better, guess what? Every day with Jesus grows sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. He's the one that saved me, and he's the one I'm living for. Every day with Jesus grows sweeter than the day before. In spite of this whole negative world, in spite of this whole contrary world to the word of God, when you got Jesus, brother, you got everything. When you got Jesus, sister, you got everything. We got peace with God. We got joy unspeakable full of glory. We've got the Son of God living in us. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, I'm so grateful to God. It gets better and better and better because Jesus is my Lord. I want you to know, brother and sister, the greatest thing that's ever happened to me is Jesus saved my soul. Amen. Somebody will say hallelujah. Somebody will say glory. Somebody will say, Lord, I'd have been lost. I'd have been hell bound. I'd been in the drunk in the bars last night. I'd have been sleeping around with somebody last night. I'd been on a skid row had the Lord not have changed my life, had it not have been for the Lord. We owe a lot to God, don't we? Oh, yeah. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. But wait a minute. With Jesus, hallelujah, all things are possible. Number three, and it's this. Not only what's all the signs, and all I'm doing is going through the text, exposition, using the text, and letting the text speak for itself. What are with all the signs? Secondly, you know, why is it going to get worse before it gets better? The Lord said that it was. And then, number three. Where in the world are we going? Where in the world are we going? Jesus said, if you progress through Matthew chapter 24, you find out in the latter part of that Matthew 24, you find out that he said this, as in the days of Noah. And remember the days of Noah? There's three things: before the flood, during the flood, and after the flood. Before the flood, wickedness. God said he called all men everywhere to repent. 120 years, but they didn't repent. Before the flood, during the flood, after the flood. All of that's listed in Matthew chapter 24. But wait a minute. Where in the world are we going? I want you to see this one more time in case you rolled your eyes when I said this is a reference to the tribulation rather than the rapture. I have confessed to you, I have preached it numerous times about the rapture, but if you look at the text and you study other scripture, you find out this is not the rapture, Matthew 24. Rather, this, again, technically speaking, is the second coming of Christ, the tribulation, the 7 years. And by the way, are you back there in the back? Do we got somebody back there operating? Pull up the four horsemen. I believe that's our next slide up there. This is going to be the events that takes place. These four riders in Revelation chapter 6. The white horse rider, the red horse rider, the black tar horse rider, and then the pale on the far right. Jesus said that this is what's going to happen. Remember now, wait a minute. Who's sitting there listening to this Olivet Discourse? You know who's sitting there? You know who's listening to this as the Lord is looking over the Kidron Valley into the temple? Guess who's with him? John. You're right. John the Apostle. Well, who wrote the book of Revelation? The Holy Spirit did. But the Holy Spirit led John. John was being taught by Jesus, and Paul was taught by the Lord as well. And the Bible is saturated concerning what I'm sharing with you today. Wait a minute. So, what's going to happen? You notice it says, two be in the field, one taken, one left behind. Two women grinding, one taken, one left behind. Certainly this is going to happen at the rapture when Jesus comes again. It could happen in a moment. We would see, is Jesus going to be seen in 2015? I don't, many Bible scholars, and I personally do not believe that according to the Bible, there's anything that needs to take place in order for the Lord to come again in the rapture. In fact, there's one world government already being set up. There's one world religion, and that's paving the way. I wish I had time to tell you about the Catholic Church meeting with some evangelicals and some things that have been going on. I'm not picking on either one. I'm just saying, folks, there's some things happening in our world right now that if you knew about it, you'd say, wow, the Word of God is true. It's being fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. These are precursors to what is to come. I believe the Bible, and so one taken, one left behind. And so where in the world are we going? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? I used to work with a man over at Bibb Company in Fort Valley, folding bedspreads and such when I went over there at the age of 18 years old. And then I got promoted to maintenance. I swept the floors and cleaned up the floors until finally getting promoted to being an electrician. But I remember cleaning up the floors, sweeping the floors. We start 8 o'clock in the morning, end about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There was a machinist there by the name of Frank. Frank would be dirty. He'd be working on that machine. And he'd be dirty and have his coveralls on. And we'd say, Frank, it's 3:55. It's 3:50. Frank, you ready to go? Frank said, I'm ready to go. No, you're not, Frank. You're still dirty. Your clothes are still dirty. You're not ready to go. About the time, 3:59, 4 o'clock, boom, the bell would ring. He'd zip open his coveralls, come out of them coveralls. He had clean clothes in. He washed his hands. Buddy, he was clocking out at 4:01. He was ready to go. He was ready to go. Anybody ready to go? If the Lord should call you home, you're ready to go? Hey, don't hold on to the things of this world. Let them loose and be ready to go. Well, I've got to close on this, and it's this. Not only when, what's with the signs? Why is it going to get worse before better? Then, next. What? Where in the world are we going? Do you know where you're going? Are things lining up in your life? Last but not least, how should we respond to this message? Things lining up in your life? You got them lined up? You're in the will of God? Lord, I'm where I need to be. I'm working where you want me to work. I'm with who you want me to work. I'm serving, doing what? Are things lining up in your life? Jesus said, watch and pray. Be ready, therefore, for you know not the hour the Son of Man comes. How many looking forward to Jesus coming again? This ought to be a blessed word for us who know this old world. And I've been in this old world. There's many tired, wounded. Hear about the little girl in the plane wreck. hear about her parents getting killed, hear about how she walked to that house bruised and cut. I see a lot of Christians just like that little girl. The Lord put that in my heart as I was thinking about this message. A lot of Christians, tired, weary, cut, bruised. But listen, brother, you can't quit yet. Listen, sister, it's not time to finish yet until we get home. Amen and amen. Let's stand together.